as the Zold Amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
But I'm going to try to be on my best behavior today, and I'm going to try, after a couple days of some really heavy issues getting into, we're going to maybe review a few of them, but I want to try to make this a flea flicker Friday the best that we can, give you a chance to come in. I want to chew a little bit more on what I ended the show yesterday. Why aren't millennials having babies? I want to be able to get to that and get some of your opinions on that one. It's October 4th. Who knows how that can possibly be October 4th already? And I see we have 19 people in the queue today, which means some of you still have not figured out how to get in. So, you know, we're setting up a new system. We talked about that yesterday. You can go to the website, and without being too involved with this thing, folks, you have to register. If you're going to, the show is free. Show is free. Will always be free. Rush Limbaugh calls it, what is it he calls it? It doesn't matter what he calls it. You have to join the website to get access to a lot of the stuff that we have behind the scenes. We got hundreds, not thousands, of videos and commentaries and really, really cool stuff on the backside of the website. In order to get to that backside of that website, we're initiating the fact that you have to be a member. $1 a day. Not weekends. We're not even going to charge you for the weekends. $1 a day gives you access to all that great video on the back. You ought to invest $20 to just look at all that stuff, and then you make the decision whether that's something you want to do. But along those same lines, we're changing our format here of being in the queue. The only way that you're going to be able to be in the queue and actually converse is if you are a member at the website. Members only get in the queue. And that's $1 a day. $1 a day to be able to do that. Some of you I know just come in and you listen to the show and you're in the queue. You don't ever really comment. You don't, you know, I'm not making fun of it. It's okay. You just listen to it on our website and you're in the queue, but you're not going to be able to keep doing that if you don't become a member of the queue. Now, you can find us on YouTube for free, Facebook. You can find us a lot of things. So we're not trying to make you pay any money to be part of the show. Okay. That's not part of it. But we have expenses associated with it. We don't do commercials. We don't have any underwriters or anything like that. So the way that we're going to fund our website is from the viewers, those who use it. $20. And as I said a number of times, I could get 500 people to give $20. Do the math. That's $10,000. We could get a lot of work done. So if you're having trouble getting in, that's probably the reason why. We walked you through that yesterday. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You're having trouble viewing the show at the website, just go to YouTube, go to Facebook, or you can just watch it right over here. Did I make that clear? Anybody have a question? Anybody have a question at all about how this whole system is working? I'm sure you understand why we're doing it, but any confusion out there? Because I noticed we got 25 people in the queue. Normally we have probably over 50, and that tells me that some people probably either haven't figured it out or, you know, don't have, listen, if you don't have the money, if you're a regular part of the queue and you don't have the money, we'll find a sponsor for you. Okay. So just email me and say, Coach, listen, I just don't have it. We're not trying to keep anybody out. Okay. Don't want you to think that. So questions about any of that? No, yes, no. Flea Flicker Friday, pull up the calendar. I want to run down through that real quickly, because this is the heart of Coach Dave Live. This is really what we're all about. And this is what I think separates us from every other, well, gotta be careful, not every other ministry, but most ministries, is we're doers, we're not just talkers. We're doers of the word, not hearers only. And so we have guys who finally people who are finally picking up the mantle, putting the flag in the ground in their local areas, and they're scheduling activities. We'd like to make you aware of these activities. So number one, you can attend them if they're close to you. Or number two, you can get one going right where you are. So on our schedule book right now, you see October 10th. the huddle and the scrimmage in North Carolina. Now, Mike and Paula Heath are putting that on. They call it down in Mayberry. Those of you who live down along that right coast down through there, it's in Hickory, Mount Airy, North Carolina. That's going to be next Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the reason we picked Thursday is Franklin Graham is having a big event going on down there. We thought it would be a great opportunity to do a Honk and Wave Equal Justice Tour, because those are the people really that are for us, and try to encourage them to get involved with it. That's going to be next October, next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If you can only come one of the days, come and join us, okay?
Cool, hey, on Coach, down. Can I yes. throw it before you
throw? Yeah, Kevin, go. I got you here on my list, believe it or not, Kevin. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to remind you, tomorrow morning in Mount Vernon, Missouri, at the Mark, which is an event center in Mount Vernon, on Mount Vernon Boulevard. It's pretty easy to find. Mount Vernon is just nothing more than a whole bunch of truck stops right off of I-44. We're having a all-day event with Rusty Thomas and Matt Truella and Dan Fisher from Oklahoma, conference on the lesser magistrates. So cool. Just wanted to get that in there. And
where do they get more information on that, Kevin? If they're just hearing about it now for the first time, what do they do?
Well, I don't know that there's a website or anything, but I had forwarded you a copy of the itinerary and the address of the property and stuff. And if they have any questions, they can give me a call at 417.
Well, Kevin, they don't have to do that. They don't have to do that. They can get a hold of me and I'll forward them. Although I got to tell you this, buddy. There was no attachment on that yesterday. I was trying to pull that up today to use it. You sent me the email, but there wasn't an attachment to it, I don't think.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So if you resend the attachment to me, Kevin, and anybody needs information, they can contact me, and I'll shoot it to them. That'd be easier than them to try to write down your phone number and all that stuff, right?
Okay. Very good.
All right, buddy. Good. Next Wednesday, next week, Tuesday, the 15th.
Yeah. Room is making a lot of noise.
We are going to the presidential debate here at Otterbein College in Westerville, Ohio. It's just north of Columbus. I don't have all the details with you, but we are going to be there. It's a national presidential debate of all the Democrat candidates here in Westerville. Wednesday, maybe Thursday. It may be a two-day event. We're not really sure yet. We're waiting for all the details to come back on that. So that's why we put down there October 15th and October 16th. Put that on your schedule. That'll be a lot of fun, man. That'll be a lot of fun, because all the God haters are going to be out there. And it'll be really, really good. October 15th and 16th. So we're still working on that. October 18th, and that's next Friday. Bobby Lee's got a huddle going for us in Pennsylvania. Love for you to come and be part of that. But again, I tip my cap to Bobby, because Bobby's one of those guys who's all in, and dare I say it, he's a low-maintenance guy. Just goes about his business, organizes his business. He's working with some local tea parties and some other groups to have, all be working, playing on the same team. So I salute you on that, Bobby. That's October 18th. You can go right there on your, you can see it all right there on the homepage. And is that the last one, or are we still talking about Jamie Waldron? I'm sorry, the Rimfire Conference. Forgot about that. Sorry, Rob. Come on, folks, if you can, this would be something to see. If you've never been out in that Montana area, holy smokes, that Glacial National Park and all that it's a sight to behold. And that's October 25th and 27th for anybody who can get out there. And if you're buying tickets, we've got it set up that you buy the tickets through our website. So go to Coach Dave Live there, pick up your tickets. It'll be a grand event, promise you that. Leighton Howerton, Mike Spaulding, myself, Bradley Dean, others. And then we're having a boot camp in unison with the Central Ohio boot camp. They also have the Central Ohio huddle group on November 16th. They're already scheduled. We're bringing in Jamie Walden. He's going to come. He's going to do a presentation for us all day on November 16th. You don't want to miss that. It's 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. And we'll get you more details on that. But that's that's coming up November 16th. So, excuse me. I think I've run through the schedule pretty good. Anybody got anything they want to poke me in the shoulder about before I've forgotten here?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Jeff.
We got Sunday morning, we'll have David Arthur speaking at our church at New Beginnings. And then Tuesday night, the church in the garage that we do.
Yep.
At my car lot. There were up to 15 people showing up at that thing. Mm-hmm. And David's speaking Tuesday night in there. I'm trying to book him in a Wednesday night church service somewhere. I've contacted a few. We're waiting for an answer. And then we're going to tie all them people that we have coming on Tuesday nights to the debate in Westerville and the Jamie Walden thing. We're going to get these people out of the garage now and get them to the events. So that's what we're working on up here.
All right, man. That's coming up this next weekend. Jeff, that's not this weekend. Next weekend?
It'll be this Sunday with David Arthur in our church and then Tuesday night church in the garage at my car lot, JC's Autos.
Okay, cool. Gotcha. Anybody else, anything for the good of the group? Cool. Hey, Robert Klaus, you got a long one for us today, brother. You got a long one here, October 4th. Got a long one in your book. Finders, keepers, finders of truth, keepers of faith. Robert, do you have your book today? Is it still sitting out in your car?
No, I've got my book, Coach.
Because Chad Estes gave me a hard time yesterday when I read your commentary. And then Chad comes back and says, "Hey, aren't you going to read Robert's?" I said, "Hey, Chad, we just did." That's a cop for you, isn't it? Investigative reporter, evidence right in front of him. He didn't even hear it. Come on, Chad. I had to give him a hard time here. Okay, Robert, you got a long one for us today, brother.
Okay, yeah, it's a long one. It's 2 pages, but it's on holiness. It's called "Holiness is Not Optional for Citizens of Heaven." There is a growing tendency today for many Christian leaders to deny or undermine the pursuit of holiness. They may even suggest that holiness is optional for heaven-bound believers. After all, they say all their sins of any kind, past, present, and future, have already been forgiven.
Once saved, always saved, right, Robert? Huh?
That's right. That's what they say. When God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ, not our sins, even unconfessed sins. So there's no need for repentance. Live as you wish, for God doesn't see you as you are. Such faulty teaching promotes ungodliness and turns the grace of our God into licentiousness. That's sure. Jude 4.
Yep.
Such ones, by their wayward teaching and behavior, deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. He appeared in order to take away sins and to destroy the works of the devil.
By the way, Robert, I had this epiphany yesterday. I'm going to stop calling Jesus my Lord. I'm going to start calling him my King.
That's good.
That's a different ring to it than Lord, doesn't it?
That does. It does. That's rulership there.
Right. He's my King. Go ahead, bud.
To the contrary, John wrote, "By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother." It's 1 John 3:10. After all, did not the Apostle Paul describe the beloved of God as saints rather than sinners?
He sure did.
That's right. No one who abides in Christ continually sins in the sense of living a life of unrepentance and habitual sin, being indifferent about carrying out the will of God, which is our sanctification or progression in holiness.
So, Robert, does God wink and nod at a man who every night goes to his internet porn?
I hardly think so.
Huh?
No, he does not.
That's habitual sin, isn't it?
It is. It sure is.
And falling and staying in that habitual sin is doing nothing more than denying the kingship of Jesus in your life, right?
That's right. That's right.
I want to make sure I'm on the right page. Keep going here.
This sanctification involves not only abstaining from sexual immorality, but also maintaining one's own vessel or body in sanctification and honor.
Wow.
As Paul exhorts, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Paul warned that he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you.
Amen.
This holy living.
I'm sorry, Robert. Kingship, kingdom, got to be in a kingdom. If you're in a kingdom, right, there's a new set of rules. You have new power. Go ahead.
That's true. This holy living is accomplished by relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, by which one puts to death the deeds of the flesh and inherits eternal life. Romans 8:13. This whole devotional here probably has 30 supporting verses, but I'm not going to read all the scripture references.
They put to death? Wait a minute, Robert. What? They put to death the deeds of the flesh? What?
That's true. Holy Spirit, not your PhD or your expertise or your own power, but the Holy Spirit.
Okay,
Paul went on to say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, Galatians 5:21. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Time out a minute, Robert.
Robert, time out a minute.
Can I take you back a second? For those who practice such things will not inherit what?
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Now, could it be? Well, I don't want to dive into this one. But could it be that he's not? He says those who continue those things will not going to. They're not going to have any righteousness. They're not going to have any peace, and they're not going to have any joy because they don't have the kingdom of God.
And that's not only future. That's not only the future oriented kingdom, but that's the present kingdom. You will not have the present peace and joy and righteousness right now if you're practicing sin.
Robert, I don't watch porn. Why? Because the Holy Spirit enables me to get victory over that stuff. I don't watch it. It's not something I did in my fleshly desire. My fleshly desire would be to look at porn. But I walk in the Spirit, and I'm not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's kingdom living, folks. That's kingdom living. And if you're out there and you're dealing with some type of sin, a nagging sin, a habitual sin, and you'd like to tell people you can't stop it, well, that you deny the power of God, brother. You deny the power of God. Say, oh, I can't. Man, you know what? I'd really like to quit looking at that porn, but I just can't give it up. You really? Break your freaking computer. What do you mean you can't give it up? Of course you can. Besetting sins, the scripture calls it. Besetting sins. Let us lay aside every sin that so easily ensnares us and run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm sorry, Robert. Go ahead.
Okay. So notice that Paul calls Jesus our Lord. Serving Jesus as Lord was Paul's life passion and teaching. For he said, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. After all, that was the Lord's call on Paul's life. Jesus' call on Paul's life is clear. Quote, for this purpose I appear to you, Jesus tells Paul, to appoint you as a minister and a witness to open the eyes of the blind so they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God that they may receive. Dominion, right.
Kingdom, one kingdom, another kingdom. The Bible says it delivers from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son.
That's true. And doing that, they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me.
Wow.
Sanctification is an ongoing spiritual transformation, a world renouncing process accomplished by having the mind renewed by the Spirit of God and enlightened by the truth of God, rather than allowing the body to be conformed to the world. This progression.
You can continue to hold that grudge if you want to. You can continue to do that. You can continue to deal with anger issues if you want to. Well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way we are. All those Dobbin Myers, we all got just like my old man. Well, you can continue to be ruled by your old man's spirit, or you can get rid of it. You can have a new king, a new dominion, right? Folks, this is what we've been talking about all this week. You don't have to continue in whatever sin you find yourself ensnared in or enslaved in, a generational sin. You can break the power of it in your life when you're walking in kingdom principles. Go ahead, Robert.
That's true, Coach. And this very next sentence has the kingdom word in there. Those progressing in sanctification are seeking the better heavenly kingdom as lovers of God rather than returning to their love affair with this world. God is not ashamed to be called their God. In the last paragraph, John warns those to whom he writes who believe in the name of the Son of God to guard themselves from idols. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the proud, boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yep. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. John later made it clear that the marriage of the Lamb would come. It said he was clear that the marriage of the Lamb would come for his bride, who made herself ready by being clothed in fine, bright, and clean linen, which he describes as the righteous acts, not words, acts of the saints. Such separated, sanctified, holy ones are those belonging to Jesus, the divine bridegroom, and as you say, the king that we serve.
So in other words, we fight adultery all the time, don't we? So what are you talking about, Cuts? Adultery with the world. We're supposed to be betrothed to Christ. We're supposed to be serving Christ, and yet we constantly want to step out on him with the world. That's really what's going on, folks. That's what sanctification is all about. Moving away. I used to do that, and I don't do it anymore. And I don't do it anymore because of the power of the Holy Spirit empowers me to say no. Say no to it. And until we understand these principles. See, if we want to have cheap grace. We want to have easy believism. We want to have once saved, always saved, because it makes it easy for us. There's no struggle. If I've received Christ and he's okay, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, doesn't matter what we do, once saved, always saved. Well, that takes away the challenge out of holy living, doesn't it? Sanctified living. So it's critical that we understand that as I always tell the once saved, always saved people, why would you want to be unsaved? If you're saved, why would you want to be unsaved? If you get unsaved, I question whether you ever were saved. That's great. This is really good, Robert. Anybody want to comment on that? I kind of took over that show, didn't mean to.
Yeah, the business of I'm a Christian now, my sins don't count against me. Why did Jesus spend so much time teaching his disciples about sin of the children of the kingdom? Your Father who is in heaven will not forgive you your sins, he told his disciples. And then he had a condition, if you do not. Read it for yourself. I'm not going to tell you. And then he taught us to remind ourselves of that procedure for forgiving sins once you're in the kingdom, once you're in the family. He taught us to remind ourselves of that very sin provision every day as we pray the way he taught us to pray.
Folks, as hard as this is for some of you to believe, I was raised Catholic. I was taught in my Catholic catechism that I sin every day in thought, word, and deed. Now, sorry, I don't agree with that. I haven't sinned yet today. I don't think I've committed one sin yet today. And why? Because I walk in the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have the temptations. I turn on the computer, some pretty girl pops up there. I wasn't even thinking about a pretty girl till she pops up there. And then, wow, I can click on that if I want to. But I don't have to. I don't have to. If my fealty, my loyalty is to Christ and following him and doing what pleases him, I'm not going to commit adultery with some chick on my computer page. It's craziness, right? So the idea that you don't have any, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, I can promise you this, you don't have any power. You don't have any power. But if you are born again of the Spirit of God, you got all power. Yeah, you don't have to smoke. You want to. So I can't quit that. Well, then you have a weak Jesus. Well, you don't have one. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Say, I'd really like to stop porn. I'd really like to stop porn, but man, I just can't. I smoke my cigarettes and watch porn. I can't stop either one of them. Well, then you got a weak Jesus, I'd say, man. Because he said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. If you're walking in the kingdom, you have the power over that. It's a realization of it. I'm not trying to hit anybody hard over the head. I'm just trying to take away all of your excuses to sin. Cool. Anybody? Come on in. Come on in. We'll move on. That was a good one today, Robert. They're all good, but that was a really good one. Hey, for those of you out there get jealous, you want to read your devotional? Write one. We'll let you read. Write one. So you write yours and send me a copy of it. We'll let you read your devotional on this day. Okay? Come on. Okay, Flea Flicker Friday. I got a lot of stuff to flick up on there. Let me see. Do I want to do that? Do I want to do that? I want to look at this, make sure I got it all. Oh, I got to show you this. I got to show you this. Wow. Click on money chart. Click on money chart. Yesterday I wrote a commentary Why aren't millennials having children? I want to talk about that. I saw this yesterday. This blew me away. All right, folks. Now, before I go any further, one of the reasons people can't have children is they cannot afford them. They cannot afford them. It's almost impossible for a family to live on one income. Praise the Lord. Both of our daughters are living on one income. Praise the Lord. But it's a struggle. They never have enough money. You know how it is. You never have enough money. And one of the reasons we don't ever have enough money is like when I drove last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, I drove out to Maine. I stayed off the Pennsylvania Turnpike because it was $58 one way. How can they rate me like that? How can they charge me $58 to pay on to drive on a public road? And think about all the many taxes that you pay that you don't even think about. I was having a conversation with Mark Trump yesterday. Mark's still here working on Sky High. And I called another guy, another financial advisor, about something that we're thinking, my wife and I are thinking about doing with some funds that we have. And I said to him, who are these people? He says, well, the IRS made the rules. I said, who are they? How come? You mean to tell me I can pull, this is one of these 401, survival 401ks where you can pull all your money out of retirement and then you can fund it. You can buy whatever you want to and fund your own but you know what you can't do? You can't pull out your own retirement money. You can't pull out your own retirement money and build a house for you to live in or your children to live in. So in other words, let's say I have $200,000, which I don't. I have $200,000 sitting in the state teacher's retirement. And I'd like to pull all that money out because that money's all mine. I want to pull all that money out and I want to build a house that my wife and I can live in debt-free. Not allowed to do it. So why can I do that? Well, the IRS says you can't. Why? Well, they just say you can't. What's going on? What's going on? And it's like that in every aspect of our lives when it comes to our finances. Again, I was talking to Mark Trump yesterday about his fishing boat. And, you know, you can write this off and you can't write this off and you can depreciate this. And you can what? What the? Why? How did we ever get to the point where we have somebody who doesn't even know us tell us what we can do with our money? How did we ever get there? We're there. But money isn't real. Are you sitting down? Larry, are you sitting down? I hope you're sitting down because I'm going to show you a chart. Folks, if you can't see this chart on the screen, I feel bad for you because this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. We are funding globalism to the tune of $50 billion a year. That's right. My daughter has to work or your daughter has to work and send their kids to daycare because the government is taking so much money out of the paycheck that one paycheck does not do the trick anymore. Scroll down to the chart. Scroll down to the chart, Connor. Look at this chart. Can you blow that up, Connor? How much foreign aid the world receives from the United States? It's right there on your screen. I'm going to try to make it bigger so you can read it. I don't know who put this together. This is unbelievable. Just go down there through it. Afghanistan gets $5.7 billion. And your daughter has to work. Can't stay home with their kids because they're giving $5.7 billion to Afghanistan. They're giving $1.1 billion to Ethiopia. We're giving $924 million to South Sudan. We're giving Uganda $741 million. Tanzania $626. By the way, your daughter can't stay home and homeschool your children because we're giving $584 million to Somalia. And we're giving $580 million to Mozambique. And by the way, we're giving $837 million to Pakistan. Pakistan. Are you glad about that? Syria is getting $891 million. Nigeria, $852 million. Egypt's getting $1.5 billion. Where's Israel? How much is Israel got? I bet they're up at the top. Let's go back up to the top and see how much Israel's getting from us here. How much they're pulling out of our pockets. Nepal's they're only getting $193 million. Niger's only getting $173 million. Those poor people. Golly, we're only giving $170 million to Rwanda. And by the way, your daughter has to go to work. You can't stand with her kids because we're giving $116 million to Chad. Now you asked us, not to you. We ain't giving it to you, Chad. We're giving $277 million to Indonesia, $96.8 million to Cambodia. And Sri Lanka's getting $576 million. Laos. They're Laos. They're only getting $53 million from us. But thank goodness that your daughter has to work a second job. Thank God, because they're going to come. Folks, anybody picking up what I'm laying down? Anybody see what's going on to us?
Hey, Coach, when you put it with our government is giving all this money to the rest of the world, that's not our government. That's the money that they take out of our pockets they're giving to the rest of the world. Now, think right. about God. God blesses his true children, his members of his body who are scattered around the world as a true body of Christ. He blesses them. What do most of them do? They build a building around themselves, put four walls around themselves, and then they start giving all those blessings. What they don't spend on the popsicle behind the pulpit that's teaching them lies, they give to the rest of the world and give it right back to Satan.
Larry, it's unbelievable. Iraq's getting $3.7 billion. Scroll down. There's Israel. Stop a minute. Don't do it yet, Connor. Don't do it yet, Connor. Anybody want to guess how much we're probably giving to Israel? So listen, your daughter can't stay home with your grandkids because she's got to go to work because she can't make ends meet because we're giving money to all these people. Iraq, 3.7, Colombia. How about that? $3.2 billion a year we are giving to Israel. Hungary gets $5.9 million. They don't get much. They'll start complaining a little bit more. How much are we giving to Mexico? $290 million. What? We're giving money? Yeah, we're giving money. China. Why, look, we're giving $53.1 million to China. Why are we giving money to China? Why does your daughter have to put your grandchild in daycare?
Why do we give money to China anyway, Dave? Everything we buy nowadays is made in China. They're making enough money on us anyway.
What's Rich? It's wicked. See,
yeah.
It's all designed, folks. Tinfoil hat. It's all designed to enslave the people. It's exactly what I started talking about with every cent. Can somebody explain this to me? Please help me. We have to account for every dollar past the salt spends. We do our 990s every year. Account for every dollar we spend. What business is it of the federal government how past the salt spends its money? Can somebody explain? Somebody help me with that. I'm gonna wait. I want to hear that. They say, well, Coach, you're a nonprofit. No, we're a church. We're a church. Separation between the church and state. And I got to spend money to comply with the IRS rules. I hear somebody. Come on in.
Coach, if that's the same statistics that they put out yesterday, that United States citizens pay more in taxes than they do to feed and clothe their own families in the United States.
See right there, don't we? See right there. Hey, Joseph, by the way, you got to get back up. And Trump's doing a really good job finishing up that garage. He said, I got to finish that up for Joseph. So bless you, Joseph. You could see it. So folks, here's what I believe. This is the matrix that we're living in. This is the matrix. Are you sitting down? This just comes from me. Money is meaningless. There is no such thing as money. There's no such thing as money. Our money is literally monopoly money. How many trillions of dollars are we in debt? I'm going to ask you this. This is a very, very simple question. If Robert Klaus comes to me and says, Coach, I'm $1,000 in debt. If I don't pay this $1,000, I am going to lose my house. And I say, daggone, Robert, I'm $5,000 in debt. I'm $5,000 in debt. I'll tell you what, though. Here, I'll write you a check. I'll write you a check. And Robert breathes a sigh of relief because, whew, he's out of debt, but I'm now $6,000 in debt. You get it? And then they charge interest on that debt. Interest on it. I'm working really hard, just so that you know. Michelle and I are working really, really hard to try to figure out a way to pay off Sky High. Pay it off. Can I tell you why? It's shame. I'm ashamed to tell you this. We mortgaged our home, our paid off home, to purchase that up there. And we're glad that we did it. But every month, I pay $1,200 interest to the bank. Folks, that doesn't glorify the Lord. That does not glorify the Lord. And it bothers me every time I write that check. Every time. $1,200. Michelle and I are paying $1,200 interest to the bank, who, by the way, put that chart back up there, Connor. That's what they're doing with the money. That's just foreign aid. That doesn't have to do with the guys coming across the border. And the government tells us we have to pay for them too. Doesn't even, so see, it's a three-card Monty. We don't understand it. Money's fake. They understand it. We don't understand it. And we continue to voluntarily pay our income taxes and watch our own children and grandchildren go into debt. Folks, we come on now. Hey, time out, man. Time out. If we don't have any money, Larry, how much in debt are we? Did I see $21 trillion? And didn't I find out that maybe there's another? Could we be as possibly as deep as $40 trillion in debt? We could we not?
And that's not even including the future obligations on those debts, right? The unfunded.
That's right. So when everything goes to hell in a handbasket, they're not going to take money away from Israel. They're going to take money away from Larry's retirement. That's what they're going to do, right? So here we are broke, and so can somebody explain to me how we could possibly be? Are you watching this on the screen, folks? Do you see what's on the screen right now? Iraq hates Israel. Iraq hates Israel. We give Iraq $3.7 billion. We give Israel $3.2 billion. People say, well, we got to protect Iran. We got to protect Israel. That's God's chosen, but we got to protect them. Well, then quit giving $3.7 to Iraq. We're giving $1.5 billion to Jordan. Stop it. Stop it. Not even. Hey, it's much more than that. Yes.
I heard yesterday that Ukraine, Joe Biden tried to hold $1.8 billion to Ukraine.
Right.
Well, now they're saying that $1 billion is missing.
Really? I'll be darned. Funny how that happens, huh, Serge?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Jared, is there some way we can put this link into the chat? I've had several people say, where did I get that link? I want to see that chart.
Yes, sir. We'll get it.
Put that thing in the link for them so that they all can see it. So I don't want to get burdened down. I want to come back to where I was. I want some good preacher in there. Somebody who can. I'm trying to look. I don't know who can tell me this. Can somebody explain to me why Past Assault Ministries has to give an account to the IRS of every penny we spend? Can somebody explain that to me? I'm going to wait a minute.
You're not the Clinton Foundation, that's why.
Thank you, man. Can somebody tell me why God's money has to meet the approval of the IRS? I'm waiting. Somebody help me out here. When they take my money and they give it to the enemies of Christ, they take it. And they want to know every dime I spent. They want to know when I take four guys out to breakfast who've been we've been out doing ministry, and I go out and buy their breakfast. They want to know the names. The IRS wants to know who those people were.
Well, Coach.
Yeah, Peter Schiff's father, Peter Schiff, yes, anybody knows, you know, about him. He's
Irwin Schiff.
He runs a precious Irwin Schiff.
Yep.
His father, Irwin Schiff, you know, he said you didn't have to pay, wrote a book on, said you didn't have to pay your income tax. And what did they do to him?
Threw him in jail. Died in jail, I believe. Income tax is voluntary. Yeah, Glenn, don't miss this, folks. Don't miss what I'm trying to say.
Well, Coach, as a nation, I believe. Go ahead, Dale. The reason I believe my answer would be is that we went from that we will have no other king but King Jesus when we founded this country, that we have rejected Jesus and we have made the U.S. government our new king. Well, the king, then he punishes those who don't obey their laws. And so. This is why we have this, and I believe the taxes and all this other crazy stuff is because we have these charlatans that came in, they fleeced the flock, and the government tried to do the right thing about trying to correct some of that, but it doesn't matter. They still do it. But the key thing is we've rejected Jesus, and we made government our God.
That's exactly right, Dale. It's a different kingdom, isn't it, right?
Amen.
So, again, somebody help me. Pastor Dale runs a church. I'd sound awful to say that. You get what I'm saying? Dale, didn't mean it to sound so derogatory as that. What business, Dale, of all the money that you bring into King Jesus Ministries, can you tell me something? How much of that belongs to the IRS, Dale? Whose money is
none
that?
None of it.
None of it belongs. None of it. It's not the IRS's money. That money is given to God and to God's works. It's not the IRS's money. It's not the government's money. But you'll hear people, pastors in the pulpit, talk about our duty to give money to government that kills babies, destroys marriages, gives away money to our enemies. What if we're held accountable? What if we stand before the Lord and he says, hey, coach, did you take that past the salt money and give it to the government? And I'll say, Lord, I did. You, Paul wrote about that in Romans 13, you know. He wrote about that. They're killing babies with my money. They're funding wars with our money. The church money. Now, I don't have a solution. I don't have a solution. But I know paying, I'm going to be one of the only ones. Paying taxes, my friends, is wicked. It's not godly. I'm going to say it again real slow so that you don't miss it. Paying taxes to an ungodly beast system is not righteous. That is not righteous, folks. That is ungodly, despite what your pastor might tell you. Anybody want to argue? I don't care.
No, I won't argue with you, Coach, but I'll tell you this. There's one guy out there in Washington or Oregon that figured it out and has actually won a case against the IRS for not paying taxes because he is against abortion. And I would like to meet that guy because, you know, the IRS, me and the IRS have a really good – I get love letters from them all the time.
Yeah, so. I know you do. Hey, Kevin, let me ask you something, huh? So if you get called into court, help me out here. Is it the same group of judges – that are judging everything else that you have to stand before? I mean, is it like you have to go on the road and play a football game and the hometown gets to pick the referees? Is that kind of what you're talking about, Kevin? Hometown referees? No recourse? I'll get off of it. I think it's a much
No, I think it's the same kind of judges that are out there milking and blinking and robbing the IRS themselves.
Yes, sir. Well, we know the Clintons are, right? We know the Clintons did, but they don't care because why? They own the judges. They own the legal system. Hey, somebody ought to start something called equal justice tour. Somebody ought to get something going on that because it's just about everywhere that we look. Okay, do me a favor, Connor. Go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Because I just brought this in at the end of the show yesterday, and I really want to get your feedback on this a little bit more. I got some really emotional emails regarding this. 127. Blessed is the man. Excuse me. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo. That means, hey, dude. Oh. Children are an inheritance of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man who has a whole bunch of them. Why? They shall not be ashamed. Who won't be? It's quiverful. They're not going to be ashamed. Why? Because they're going to speak the devil's kids in the gates. Now, I want you to do this quickly for me, Connor. Go to Webster's 1828 dictionary. Look up heritage, H-E-R-I-T-A-G, heritage, H-E-R-T-I-A-G-E. There it is, heritage, inheritance. An estate that passes from an ancestor to an heir by descent or course of law, that which is inherited. In Scots law, it's something sometimes signifies immovable estate in distinction from movable. In Scripture, the saints or people of God are called his heritage. We are his heirs, as being claimed by him and the objects of his special care. So children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Now you can read this two ways. The Bible says the fruit of the womb. Go back to that, Connor. Go back to 127. Because I think it's important that we make this distinction whenever you're reading the Bible. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord. Whenever you see an italicized word, folks, that means that word wasn't there. It was added. It was added to maybe make the sentence make more sense. So it says, lo, children and inheritance are inheritance of the Lord, heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb, reward. It doesn't say is his. It says the fruit of the womb basically is a reward. That's a reward for who? And I made this comment yesterday in my commentary, and I got some pushback for it. I said, listen, children are the Lord's heritage. They belong to him. It's his reward. Yes, it's our reward, but it's his reward. Because what do children do? Children carry on. Hey, Hank, why do you drink? Why do you roll smoke? Why do you live out the song that your daddy wrote? I'm just carrying on the old family tradition. That's what a heritage is. And how can you have a heritage or a family tradition if you don't have any children? How do we carry this thing on? I go up to Sky High. I was up there yesterday with my grandson 2 days ago. And yesterday was Reese's birthday. I had them both up there. And I said, look, children, look at this place. I want you to remember this. Now, as this thing passes down through the generations and we use this for God's glory, I want you two guys to be witnesses that this was Grampy's heritage. That 3 generations from now, 4 generations from now, when God's work's being done on this hill, I don't want anybody to ever forget that it was Grampy who did it. That's what heritage is about. That's what tradition is supposed to be about. You should be able to trace back and show in your lineage who did what. Not that I would get glory for it, but that my children would realize that they are where they are because of what Grampy did. And that's good and bad, by the way. That's good and bad, because some of you are in a mess because of what Grampy did. But no matter what it was that Grampy did, it's supposed to show up in your children. Oh, Lord. So click on the email, why they are an heritage. Click on that email real quick. Hey, I thought this was going to be Friday, but this is all over me. Yeah, go ahead.
Generational curses, right? We believe in those.
We sure right? do.
What yep. about generational blessings?
Should be, brother. Should be.
Right?
Mark, I speak it every day over my grandkids. Every day. Every day. David, you're going to be taking care of this place. You're gonna be the king of Sky High, David. Reese, you're gonna be the queen of Sky High. This is going to be this. Our family's gonna serve the Lord from here. You're always gonna remember that we made the move here to do this, and we're leaving a heritage to our children. So here's the effects of receiving children as a heritage from the Lord. Number one. Oh, is this ever good? When you receive a child from the Lord, you have to trust in the Lord for their provision and their safety. That's pretty deep right there, boys. So, well, we can't have babies yet. We can't afford them. Well, you're trying to do it in your own strength. Number two, we'll regard them as a sacred trust from the Lord, of whose care they must render an account. I'm going to be held accountable for what I did with those little arrows. I should be training them, the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Number three, the D. C. D. We'll train them up, the fear of the Lord. D, we'll offer often consult God concerning them. Lord, these are your children. What would you have me to do here, Lord? What would you have me to do in this move here that I can sanctify them as servants of you? Letter E. We will render them up uncomplainingly when the Lord calls them to himself by death. They belong first and foremost to the Lord. See, this heritage that I talked about, low children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. It's his reward. It's my reward. I get to take care of them here on earth, but ultimately they're his reward. They belong to him. They carry on him. Yes, they carry me through their DNA, through their spirit. Yes, but they carry him. They're his reward. So the effects of the right training of the children is they become parents' joy. The permanent record, my children are a permanent record of my wisdom or lack of wisdom.
Dave?
Yes.
You know, if this is the case as you are reading, what in the world do parents think the accountability is going to be that 7 o'clock in the morning they shove their kid out to get on a school bus to go to the government schools? And the vast majority of things that are being taught there are completely contrary and dishonoring to our God.
Amen, Roger. And Roger, not only that, you know why they have to send them to that school bus from hell? Because they're giving $3.7 billion to Iran. That's why. And so both parents have to work.
Yes. But with a better understanding, as you've laid out, as far as who the children belong to, who the children honor, mm-hmm. who the children, you know, you've been more poetic about it than I am.
Yes, sir.
But a better understanding of that, what Bible believing parent would risk sending their kid to public government education?
Roger, what Bible believing pastor would encourage them to?
Absolutely, and absolutely.
So let's go through these again real quickly. The effects of the right training. For you, training your children the right way. Number one, they're going to become your joy. Your children should be your joy. Number two, it's a permanent record of how wise you were as a parent, or a permanent record of how lousy you were as a parent. Number three, they're going to support, and that will be support and solace of the parents' old age. Man, oh man, oh man. Big families. I tell my kids every once in a while, I say, listen, I'm going to take care of you now. You got to take care of me in the end. This is the way this thing works.
Hey, Coach.
If you do the right training, they will be transmitters of their parents' virtues to another generation for well-trained children to come in their form, wise parents. Yes, Mark.
I totally agree with getting children out of public schools, and many, many have. But before they did, what did they go through? In other words, is it possible for us to get some testimonies of how to do it so that families who are trapped in the system, their parents were trapped in the system, they went to public schools, their grandparents were trapped in the system. So how do you get out? You got two incomes, you got bills. See, people need to know how. And I think that part of being in this particular ministry is we show people how to do it. So yeah. For all the people that need to get out and want to get out, what do? They put their kids on the bus because they don't have a choice. So how do we break free of that? I think more homeschool parents need to speak up and say, before I did it, I was trapped in this system, and this is how I got out of it. A lot of it is culture change. A lot of it is standard of living, giving up our fleshly desires to put that money, debt. That's right, debt. So these are the steps that we've got to start teaching so that you can accomplish the message, and that's to get people out of public schools.
That's right. It's about priorities, right? And so we all just fall into the same trap, you know? We just fall into the same trap. I wasn't smart enough to tell my children, hey, don't take out college loans. Hey, don't take out college loans. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because it's just a system that you fall into, right? And so one of our daughters, I'm not talking behind her back, her husband is really shackled with college debt. Follows him wherever he goes. Got to pay that debt off. See, Pope,
hey, Coach.
It's all part of the beast system. The church doesn't recognize we're in a different kingdom. We play right along in the same beast system. Yeah, Jeff.
Well, here in the state of California, my neighbor here, they have made a lot, made it harder. They passed this stupid bill where they make it harder to make other schools and use federal funding and so forth. The unions and so forth. It's a government is totally pushing us over. So it's getting less and less of a chance.
Jeff, let me ask you a really simple question. Let me ask you on a really, really simple question. Can somebody explain to me why my children have to go to Lakewood High School? Why can't they go to Newark? Why can't they go to Sheridan? Why can't they go to Millersport? Why do they have to go to Lakewood High School? Who came up with that rule? That everybody within the community has to go to the same school. Where did that come from? And can somebody explain to me why when I pay my tax dollars, if I don't want my kids to go, I want them to go to Licking County Christian Academy, why I have to pay to do that? I've already paid my taxes. Why can't that money follow my child? What's going on? Folks, until we wake up to these things and begin to push back to these things, which is exactly what Mark Trump was talking about, until the church gets wise and understands how we are being manipulated in the beast system that we're trapped in and begin to walk and live by kingdom principles until we get that, folks. We're nothing different than a public interest. What do they call that? A voting block. That's all we are. That's all we are. The church is just a voting block. And they try to appease us. We're just a voting block. We're not the called out children of God. We're not those walking in a new kingdom. And by the way, the Bible says we're not in the world, we're of the world. Well, if we're not of the world, then why are we so embedded in the world? Why are churches standing open all week long when kids could be going there getting Christian education? You drive down the road today, wherever you're going today, and you count the number of churches open with nobody there while the children are at the government school. That problem could be handled almost overnight. You know what it is? Pastors don't want to take on the government schools. They don't bring that one up, boy. Oh, no, no. That'd be the third rail. That'd be the third rail. Don't ever forget this. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The children belong to Him. The fruit of the womb is a double reward. Now, how did we get to the place in America where we're teaching our children that children are a burden? They're a burden. What? You know, Michelle and I took care, sort of, her mother and father as they went into their senior years. That was a burden. I gotta tell you, that was a burden. Taking care of our parents were more of a burden than taking care of children. Why is that? Because children have their whole life before them. Parents are at the end of their life. And as much as you hate to say it, sometimes you sit around and say, Lord, take them. Take them. And we miss the great blessing of this heritage. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. That Michelle and I right now, today, as we speak here in the house that we live in and all the things that we have, these are heritage to her father. And the business, the money that he left behind. Not enough for us to get rich on. No, no, no. But he left some money. When we left London High School in 1999-2000. I didn't have a job. I took out my retirement to live on. We were broke. And when my father-in-law passed, he left some money. And we've been able to use that money wisely. And we're not broke anymore. It's not that we stole money from Past Assault. It's not that we went and got money every place else. It's that the Lord honored our sacrifice, honored what we did, and multiplied what was in our hands. And we've been, tribes have been very, very good stewards over the things that the Lord has given us. That's why I got to finish this thing up. That's why in my heart, I struggle with it every day. Every day. Should I give money to the federal government? Struggle with it every day. Because I believe the Lord would say no. God bless you. Have a great weekend.